Welcome to Lessons I've Learned, a series of podcasts by global consultant, best-selling author, and former Harvard Business School professor, David Maister.
Hi, I'm David Maister, and this is Lessons I've Learned. This particular series of podcasts is about how to develop your business through marketing, client service, and client relationships. This fourth podcast in the series of 14 is about how to give great client service. This episode is about how you give your clients such a great experience working with you that they will pay your fees, tell their friends about you, and hire you more frequently themselves. The issue we have to explore is how do you make sure that the quality of your service is as great as the quality of your work? Now, the best way to begin understanding this is to simply explore how we feel about it when we are the buyer. I have a little game that I always play, which is to ask people what it is they hate about the way that doctors deal with them when they are the patient. And most people have things very quickly. They say they don't like the fact that the doctor rushes. They don't like the fact that the doctor talks in jargon. That when they are a patient, they always feel like the doctor has taken control of things and doesn't provide enough explanations or answer questions. Now, the secret here is that your experience when you're the patient of some other professional is in fact very close to the experience that your clients have with you. Let's list some of the things that all of us want when we're the client. What we want is we want understanding. We want to know what's being done on our behalf and why it's being done. We want explanations. We also need, when we're the client, to have a sense of control. When I've given you my law case or my taxes or my public relations problem, I have taken my affairs and put them in your hands, and inevitably I experience a loss of control, and anything you can help me deal with that experience will be valued very highly. I also need, when I'm the client, a sense of progress. You're involved in taking care of me, probably, but if I don't hear from you, I just don't know what's going on. Notice my word was, you need to provide the client with a sense of progress, not just that progress is being made. The client will worry, and if you can deal with the client's need for a sense of progress, the client will value your services much more highly. Another area is providing access and availability. One of the things we all hate about doctors is how hard they are to get hold of. Well, the same is true whenever our clients deal with us. If you can do something to provide access and availability so the client feels that he or she can call you when he or she wants to, then you will increase the perceived value that the client senses from your services. We must also deal with this word responsiveness. Do the clients feel that we get back to them quickly and deal with their concerns? Another one is reliability, the fact that we are dependable. We keep our word. This one's going to sound strange, but it's true, and the word is appreciation. We sometimes worry when we hire these people that they don't really appreciate our business. Very often these professionals that we give our business to basically just take charge and, you know, feel as if it's a great honor that they serve us, instead of, in fact, them acting as if they are our servants. There's an issue also here of the sense of importance. We want the provider to make sure that we are treated as if the client is important. Now, this sounds straightforward and it sounds sensible, and you know, we know that's true when we're the client or when we're the customer, but the real question we must examine is a very simple question which we're going to explore in the rest of this episode. Are you doing the things that provide to your client the experience that he or she is being treated as a person of importance? Or to use the last one we'll explore, what are you doing to make sure that your client is not only respected by you, but actually experiences the fact that you respect him or her? Let's talk about some of the specific things you might do to make sure that your client gets all these benefits or these sense of value. The first area is possibly involving your client in the process of conducting their work. Why not get them involved in brainstorming sessions discussing what needs to be done on their behalf? The more they are involved in planning the work, the more they will feel a sense of control and that you will be treating them with respect. Don't just take the job and run away. Get the client involved. Take it further. You can give the clients tasks to perform. make sure the client has activities that are part of solving the problem so that you and the client actually do function as a team. There is not a distance between you. A third approach to make sure your client sees what you do as valuable is to make sure that you give the client options and let the clients choose. Sometimes we think being a professional is giving the client the answer and basically saying take it or leave it. But when we're the client, we don't actually want just to be told the answer. What we really want is help me understand my choices, help me understand the pros and cons, certainly give me your recommendation, but when I'm the client, let me choose. And you will be more valuable to me, not just by giving me the answer, but by actually helping me think. Another way of keeping the client involved is make sure that you are keeping the client informed on what's going to happen, when and why. Many professional firms are good at retrospective reporting, telling you what I've already done on your behalf, how much of your money I've already spent. Well, reporting on what's already taken place is nice, and I probably need it for my record keeping, but you know what? It doesn't empower me very much if I'm the client. What really will help me is when I know what's going to happen next, when I know why you're going to do it, and again, when you give me choices. So make sure that you involve me in looking ahead. Now, a second area where you could make what you do more valuable to your clients is make any written documents, reports, and presentations more useful to the client. Make them easier for the client to pass on to others in his or her organization. For example, there's no reason why we shouldn't get the client to instruct us on the format and the presentation that they prefer. Many of us, have our style of presenting documents. We make sure that we present our brand image in a consistent fashion. But you have to ask, why are we so obsessed with making sure that our brand image is right? Wouldn't we get more benefit if we were more client-focused and said, whatever works for that specific client is actually to our benefit because we'll make the client happier, we'll make the client's life easier. The second thing we could do with reports and presentations is provide summaries so that the client can use it internally without modification. It's a very simple idea, but not enough people use this, of going to your client and say, how do you plan to present this information to others in your organization? Can I help you present either a PowerPoint presentation or a package or a set of slides? Tell me how you're going to use it. Let me help you use it. Another way of making sure that what you do is more valuable is that when you do your own reports, make sure that they are read not just by your technical staff, but have them read by people who are not necessarily trained in your discipline. One of the reasons, by the way, that my articles, I think, have been received reasonably well is not my writing ability necessarily. It's that for all these years, I've had two people around me, especially my wife, Kathy, and for many years, my assistant, Julie, who are both intelligent lay people who were not trained in business. And no article went out of my office until both Kathy and Julie said it made sense to them. Because notice the point here, if you're going to be useful to the client, the real question is, does this make sense to a layperson? And as technical providers, we can't always tell. The next thing we can do is provide all of our charts and tables and summaries in digital form so the client can use it and massage it in the way that makes sense for the client. Now, a third thing you could do to be more valuable is help the client use what you deliver. For example, some firms are very good at coaching the client in dealing with the rest of his or her organization. Actually talking to your client executive saying, how do you plan to report these findings? Upwards, downwards, and sideways. Let us help you scheme and think through the way to present it that is most effective. You can empower your client not only with the conclusions, but with the reasoning steps. Remember, your client has to be persuasive, and the way you're persuasive is not to assert conclusions, but to take people through reasoning. And the more your client understands how to make the case, the more likely it is that your answers are going to be accepted by your client organization. So in other words, understanding client politics and helping your client with client politics is actually a very important professional skill. Another one in the same area is writing written reports that are progress summaries so that your clients can use them. Now, the reason I mention this one is I can promise you the following is going to happen sometime during your assignment. Your client's boss is going to walk down the corridor and say to your client contact, those people you hired, what are they up to? Where are they? And you know, the last thing we want to have happen is the person we're dealing with saying, well, I'm not sure, I'll call them and find out. The answer is we're going to be in trouble if our client contact has to say that. If we can make sure that whenever that happens, our client contact can say, well, actually, I just got this summary from them. Here's the latest update of where they are, what's happening next. Our person can look good and we will look terrific. So we need to be diligent in making sure that we provide progress summaries. Another area to think about making the whole process more valuable to clients is making meetings more valuable to your client. Now, we all have meetings and we all know they're terrible. And the question is, how can we make sure that whenever we have a meeting, we actually make it more valuable to that client? Well, the ideas are not necessarily original, but they are important. One is to make sure that you have specific goals for a meeting. The trouble with too many meetings is they have agendas, topics to be covered, but they don't actually have a purpose. And if you make sure that we all know why we are meeting, then you'll use the time much more effectively. And the way of establishing that goal is not for you to decide. You call your client in advance and say, what goals do you want to accomplish with this particular meeting? And based on that, who should we invite? You may have to negotiate with your client and be a good counselor, because sometimes your client may want to accomplish too many goals. And that way you can politely point out that maybe we should have a different kind of meeting, or maybe even split it into two. Because if there are many purposes, we may be setting ourselves up for failure by trying to accomplish too many goals in the same meeting. And you get the point. It may have been the client's fault that there were too many goals, but you're the one that's going to get blamed. So calling in advance to establish goals is very good practice. Next thing you could do with meetings, if you wanted to make them more valuable, is to send information and reports in advance. Save meeting time for the discussion, not presentation. Now, a lot of professionals and professional firms don't do this because they're a little scared. They really don't want the client to see the materials without them being present to explain. Well, I have to promise to you, if you treat me that way, I can see it immediately, and what it signals to me is you don't respect my intelligence and you don't trust me to look at things without you being there. I promise you I will feel patronized if that's your approach. So if you want my advice, if you really want to give your client a great experience, send the documents in advance, and notice you're making an offer, you're not issuing orders. You're saying, if you wish to review these in advance, here are the materials. If you want to save them and I'll present them as first thing at the beginning of the meeting, that's your choice too, beloved client, but it's your choice. Next thing you could do to make meetings more valuable is find out who's going to be there and research their background. Maybe even call people in advance saying, I understand you're coming to the meeting and may I just talk to you to find out what your take is on the issues we're going to discuss. I learned that this was very important for me because when I turned up a meeting, I always got caught up in the politics of the meeting. There were always six or seven people there who had different agendas. And if it was all unfolding in real time, I have to confess to you, I wasn't then and I'm not now good enough to deal with politics in real time and handle the awkward questions at meetings. But if I know who's coming and I've talked to them one-on-one in advance and understand their perspectives, I'll boast a little and say, with homework, I'm good enough to handle that meeting. So what's the next thing you could do to make meetings more valuable? Well, there are familiar things. Again, I'm not trying to be original here. I'm trying to ask whether you do this. Familiar things like always establish the next step for both sides. Always dictate and transcribe a summary of the meetings and the significant phone conversations. And make sure that there's a copy to the client the same day or the next day saying, here's my understanding of what went on. Do you agree that this is what we said? And then finally, something else you could do is always call after a meeting just to confirm that your goals were met. Did we accomplish what we needed to do? It may only be a 20-second phone call, but being sure that you do it will make sure that you are managing that client's experience. Let's turn to access and availability. How do you give the client the experience that you're available? Well, one little trick is to call in advance when you know that you're not going to be available. I call this getting prior forgiveness. When I'm out of town, and this happens a lot in my business, you know, I'm often gone for a week, 2 weeks, or even 3 weeks sometimes. What I do is I call all my active clients and let them know that I'm going to be unavailable and ask if there's anything I can do for them before I leave town. Now, this doesn't get me forgiveness for all things. Clients are still demanding. But if I've made that phone call in advance, I've managed the expectations properly, and they're a little bit more understanding when they can't get an immediate response when the emergency hits when I'm on the road. A second thing you can do is make sure that your assistants know where you are and when you'll be back. So instead of having to say, I'm sorry, he or she is not in the office, can I take a message? We really need to empower our assistants to say, he or she is not in the office, but here's when they'll be back. Here's when they'll be able to return phone calls. And that way you don't leave the client dangling in uncertainty about when they're going to get a response. The issue here is you don't always have to return phone calls promptly. You don't always have to return them fast, but it better be with some certainty so the client is just not left with ambiguity. You also better do some basic things like making sure that all of our assistants know the names of all clients and the names of all team members involved in the relationship. When a client calls and you're not available, wouldn't it be great if your assistant could say, well, he or she is not available, but I know everybody else who's working on your job, beloved client, and if you'd like to talk to one of those specific people, I can put you through. Again, the client may not want you to, but offering the option is going to be a great experience. And of course, you do need to work at getting clients comfortable with your junior personnel so that they can be useful and available when you're not. The more you try and hoard the relationship to yourself, the bigger a problem you're going to have with giving the client the experience of great access and availability. In conclusion, we've been through a number of areas where there are opportunities to enhance the client's experience. There are two ways I suggest you look for further ones. First of all, just think back whenever you've been a client and think what you would like other people to do when you're the client. And I'm sure you'll come up with a list of ways you'll like to be treated. I'm David Maister, and this has been Lessons I've Learned. Thanks for listening. If you found this podcast helpful, go to my website, davidmaister.com, where you'll find many other resources covering these and many other topics.